Normally in this shiur, we talk about a shaila that came up during the week. So this week, I'm going to talk about something that actually I did get a shaila about. A young woman in our community wrote to me that she feels extremely uncomfortable. Here we were, a commemoration of the Churban Beis Hamikdash during the 3 weeks, then it intensified during the 9 days, then it got more serious on Tisha B'Av itself, and she said the minute that it was all over, music is blaring, everyone's dancing, everyone's back to what they're doing, and even better, but there's no Beis Hamikdash, and there's no Mashiach, and there's no anything. And she said, I just don't understand. How does this work? What is this all about? And I think that that's a really, really serious and very important question. And what I told her is, I think it's very critical for all of us that although the experience of Tisha B'Av proper has now passed us, although now we're on the way to Shabbos Nachamu, and we have to reintegrate ourselves into the spirit of regular life, and we're not supposed to live a whole life thinking that we're in mourning in Avelis. There are designated times during the year when we're supposed to remind ourselves of that. But at the same time, this lack of Beis HaMikdash, this lack of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim is something that we do need to think about all the time. And it's something that we do have reminders about throughout the davening. And we have different minhagim that we do throughout the year, which remind us of the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So I was looking in some of the Nevi'im from the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Over Tisha B'Av, I was just reading through some of them. I came across a fascinating pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, where he begins as follows, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Yecheskel HaNavi as Ben Adam. Why does he call him Ben Adam? Everyone's a Ben Adam. We are all the children of man. So why is Yecheskel the one who is singled out and referred to specifically as Ben Adam? I think Rashi or one of the other Mefarshim there writes in Yecheskel that the reason why is because had you met Yecheskel, you would have mistaken him for not being a Ben Adam. You would have thought he's an angel. You would have thought he's from a different world. There's no way he was born to the same kinds of parents as I was. Yecheskel is in a league of his own. The answer is no, no, no. Don't forget, Yecheskel is a Ben Adam. He was born to his parents the same way everybody else was, and he elevated himself throughout the experiences of his life to become the great Navi. So we're told as follows. Beis Yisrael Yoshim al Advasam. The story begins that the Jewish people were sitting on their land, they were living comfortably in Eretz Yisrael, but then Vayitamu Sabadakam Uvali Losam. Then they defiled it by the ways in which they behaved, in which they chose to conduct themselves. Kitumas Anida Haisa Darkam Lefanai. Ve'eshmo Chamasi Alehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as a result of that, I was so angry at them and I took out my wrath. Al hadam asher shafchu al ha'aretz v'vigilu lehem timuha. Everyone was involved in Avodah Zarah, ki de'arai shvichas damim, va'afitzo sam bagayim, and as part of the punishment, I scattered them about throughout the nations. Va'yizru ba'artzos kedarka mechali losam shafatitim, va'yavo el ha'goyim asher ba'u sham, and they came into these foreign lands, into these lands of exile, into galus, va'yichalalu ha'shem kachi, and they defiled my name, there was a chilul Hashem, be'emar lahem, because people in these lands of Galus said, Am Hashem Eile Umei Arzo Yatzo, that all of these came out from the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Eretz Yisrael, Mei Arzo Yatzo, and here they are in Chutz La'aretz. So this is interesting. What exactly is the Chilul Hashem? They're sent into Galus, the Jewish people are all over the place, scattered about, they're no longer focused on Eretz Yisrael, and suddenly it's referred to as, Vayichalalu Hashem Kadshi. So Rashi is bothered by that. What's the Chilul Hashem? What they do? Says Rashi in the name of the Medrash, and I'm quoting, Hare Elu Am Hashem. These are the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo haya lo yecholas lahatzilan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't able to save them. What kind of God is that? You believe in such a God that can't even take care of his people? Why do you believe in such a God? That itself was the Chilul Hashem. The fact that the Jewish people were living outside of Eretz Yisrael and people were mocking them. You believe in a God that you say is kol yachol, you believe that God is so powerful, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he can do everything, and yet he couldn't figure out how to take care of you? That is the Chilul Hashem. And that's what the Radak there writes as well. He continues along to say that so long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people are in exile, that is the greatest experience of Chilul Hashem imaginable. You don't need to say anything more. The fact that we're here, the fact that we're not in our promised and chosen land is the greatest sign of the Chilul Hashem. And I was thinking that's really what it means when the Navi Yeshaya very famously says, we know this from Simchas Torah, V'amar b'yom ahu, Hine Elokeinu ze, kivinu lo v'yoshienu, ze Hashem kivinu lo, nagila v'nismecha b'shuaso. So, my father always jokes that on Simchas Torah when he was a kid, they used to give him that pasuk. Why? because the longest one, nobody really knows how to fit the nusach in. So he said he was the kid who was stuck with the pasuk. It's hard to really know how to say it. But here, we're told, v'haya b'yamahu. And what are we told on that? V'amar b'yamahu. Hine elokenu zeh kivinu lo v'yoshienu. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo nagila v'nismacha b'yishua so. The Mefarshim comment, nagila v'nismacha b'yishua so. We're going to rejoice on the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, it should be we're going to rejoice on b'yishua seinu. We're going to rejoice about the fact that we were saved, that we are back to where we're supposed to be. And the answer is no. So long as the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are in exile, as long as we are in Galus, then it is b'yishua so. It is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who pays the price for it. He is the one who's made fun of. That is the Chilul Hashem. When we're all going to be reunited again, that will be the opportunity, Nagila v'nismecha, not b'yishua seinu. Obviously, we're going to be having a salvation, but more importantly, b'yishua so, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that, I thought, was a very powerful comment. That when we talk about Chilul Hashem, we think about all kinds of different things. What exactly constitutes a Chilul Hashem and what not? What does a person have to do or not do in order to create a Chilul Hashem? And it's a terrible thing to do. But what's fascinating is, by doing nothing, by just being, by being the Jewish people, that says the Navi is already considered the greatest Chilul Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be scorned and mocked by the Umas HaOlam. So let's look at a letter of Reb Shlomo Alkibitz. Reb Shlomo Alkibitz is better known for being the author of Lecho Dodi. And Reb Shlomo Alkibitz actually has a letter which is printed in the beginning of the Sefer Magid Meisharim. Magid Meisharim is a fascinating Sefer by Rabbi Yosef Karo, all about the conversations that he had with an angel. Now, how he had this angel and how often he came to him, I don't exactly know, but a fascinating discussion there. And Reb Shlomo Alkibitz has a poetic letter where he writes, Amar HaMalach, the Malach, the angel said, V'yalu le'eretz Yisrael. You should be encouraged, he says, to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now this was at the time, as we know, that Beis Yosef is buried in, where is the Shulchan Aruch buried? In Tzfat. And all the Mekubalim at some place, at some time in the 1500s, many of them migrated to Eretz Yisrael under tremendous amounts of Mesiras Nefesh. But they were not born there. They were born in Chutz Laretz, and they all migrated there, even though there was a great deal of hardship in order to get to where they wanted to go. Why did they go? Reb Shlomo Alkibitz was told by the Malach as follows. V'yalu le'eretz Yisrael, make sure you go to Eretz Yisrael, ki lo kol ha'itim shavos, because not every time is going to be opportune. You're not always going to have the fortuitous opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's just not going to work that way. I was thinking about this during COVID. You know, everybody says, we go, we come, we go back and forth, I visit my children, I come, I visit Yontif, Shabbos. People travel all around. Then came COVID. My sisters from Eretz Yisrael were calling me and said, Shai, so you think you're such a wise guy? Here you are, and you can't come. So, lo kala itim shavos. You're not always going to have the opportunity. And the way they guilted me even worse was they said, what's going to happen next time? Next time you're going to make a decision. You want to be in or out. If there's a shutdown and there's a place where you're stuck and you can't go anywhere else, you want to be in Eretz Yisrael, you want to be the one who's locked out of Eretz Yisrael. Don't be that guy. So that's what they said to me. But that's really what the Malach told him. Lo kala itim shavos. Unfortunately, not every opportunity that we think is the opportune time is going to work out. Just doesn't turn out that way. You're worried. What's going to be in Eretz Yisrael? There's so much illness, so many problems. The economy is terrible, and this is a problem. And the bus drivers are not talking respectfully, and the cab driver's ripping me off. All the things he says, okay. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't figure it out? You get yourself to Eretz Yisrael. There are endless possibilities of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can figure out all these problems. Ve'einchem al tachus al kleichem. Ah, you'll say, I can't go because I have a beautiful house here. I just bought a new car. I just built a swimming pool in my backyard. What am I going to do? Einchem al tachus al kleichem. You're worried about money. Ki tov ha'aretz el yono tochelu. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You'll be able to eat from the fruit of the land to be part of that experience. Lachain. And therefore the Malach told them, Maharu v'yalu, you should all be encouraged to go as quickly as you can. V'yalu le'eretz Yisrael ki yesh le'el yedchem. And then he ends off his message by saying, you all want to come. In the depths of your heart, you really want to be there. But, rak sha'atem mutba'im betit chemdas tevel v'havalav. I love how he says that. Your problem is that you are so submerged, you are enveloped, you are engulfed in the tit chemdas tevel v'havalav, in the plaster. You're stuck in the mud of what? What's the mud? Of the chemdas tevel v'havalav, of the love of everything that Chutz Laretz represents. And you're so infatuated by it that you just can't pull away. Now again, I would never say such a thing, but this is the Malach talking to Reb Shlomo Alkevitz, and it's so powerful the way he says it, but it's so true. What's our reason not to go to Eretz Yisrael? So some people have very legitimate reasons, but most people, it's exactly what he says, because they're mutbaim betit chemdas tevel v'havalav, because they're so ensconced, they're so busy with what? With the tevel v'havalav. It's actually interesting. Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, who is the author of the Nesivos, a very famous sefer, Nesivos HaMishpat, on Shulchan Aruch and Chosha Mishpat. So he was actually one of the great gedolim. He passed away in the 1830s. And he was, at the same time as Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer, he was fighting against the Maskilim at the time. So he writes a very interesting interpretation of the Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Eicha. Bacho tivke balayla. What does it mean? We're going to doubly cry. Bacho tivke balayla. On the night of Tisha B'Av, we're going to cry twice. So what does it mean? He says as follows. Amar Navi. The Navi explains, Sibas haflagas ha'onesh ha'nizgar b'pasuk ha'kodem. Haya b'sibas ha'chet amashabachu balayla shabachiyas ha'maraglim. How did the whole problem of Tisha B'Av begin? Is because the Meraglim came back with this negative report. We all began to cry. We said, Eretz Yisrael is not for us. And that's where everything went downhill. That's where the whole problem began. Okay. So he says, you'll ask yourself, Leman lo yispale adam. Lama yutfas adara achron ba'avon ha-meraglim asher hayu lifnei doras rabim. How long should we pay the price of the Meraglim? How many thousands of years ago was this terrible problem of the Meraglim? So now we're still sitting Tisha B'Av in Galus, all of that because some story with the Meraglim, with my Elter, Bubby and Zaidi started to cry. Come on, how long is it going to go? So what does it mean? Lazeh Amar, he says, therefore the Pasuk says, Bacho Sivkeh Balayla, tonight Tisha B'Av, you're going to cry, Vidim Asa Alechya, which means the tears are still on your cheeks. What does it mean? Kilomar, Af Dor Ha'achron Adayin Me'usim Be'eretz Chemda. We still cry when we talk about Eretz Yisrael and we say, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. I hear all the negative things. I can't live there. So he says, V'dimasa al-lechia means, Baruchu me'akadusha o'bachru b'tumas avodas gilulim. He says the same problem that started all of this is the problem that's continuing to be the problem. And that is, V'yimasa be'eretz chemda. That yes, we love and we celebrate and we talk about Eretz Yisrael. We daven for Eretz Yisrael, but in the end of the day, we're not prepared to go. And that's the same exact issue that began all of this tragedy. And that's what it means, Bacho Tivke Balayla. It's not only that they cried so many thousands of years ago, it's still crying. Vidimasa Alechya, because we're still crying about the same thing they were crying about back then, and we're not prepared to leave it all behind to then embrace a beautiful life of Eretz Yisrael. So much of what we rely upon, what we speak about in the davening, and what we talk about on Yom Ne'orim is this notion of Schus Avos. Schus Avos is a very important part of Judaism. We talk about V'zochachas the Avos every day in the Shmona Esrei, and yet the Rambam makes an observation, and he says there's a major contrast between the aftermath of Chet HaMeraglim and the aftermath of Chet HaEgel. Both of them were terrible mistakes, terrible blunders, things that shouldn't have happened, but the Rambam says if you look in the Psukim carefully, you'll notice that there is one major distinction in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu presents the Tefillah when he's begging for the future of the Jewish community, and he says, don't destroy them, and allow them to gain a forgiveness for what they've done wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu formulates them very differently. In the first one, when he's fighting for the Chet HaMeraglim, the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the Schus of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we have Schus Avos, okay, you should save us. And it works. Suddenly, when it comes to Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mention Schus Avos. Why do you leave out Schus Avos? Ask the Ramban on Chumash. Schus Avos is very important. Not only is it important, Schus Avos actually works. It worked last time around. It worked by the Chet HaEgel. So why didn't he invoke the Schus Avos this time? Writes the Ramban, the reason why is because Ba'avur Sheha'aretz Nitna Liyavos. I didn't put it on here. Because the land of Eretz Yisrael was gifted, was promised, was granted to the Avos. And now he says, you have shown your disdain for the land of Eretz Yisrael. What am I going to say? In the schus of my ancestors that would have given everything in the world to go to Eretz Yisrael, I ask, please save me. What do you mean? This is not appropriate. This is not a time to invoke schus avos. The avos were so proud of their affiliation with Eretz Yisrael. And we, by the Chet HaMeraglim, clearly were not. And therefore, says the Ramban, it wouldn't make sense when we said, writes the Ramban, Efshi b'matanazu, when I said to myself at the time in the Chet HaMeraglim, that this whole idea of Eretz Yisrael is something that I'm disinterested in. It's something that really I'm withdrawn from. It's an experience I don't want to be a part of. Says the Ramban, you're then going to try to invoke Zchus Avos? And I think along the lines of the Ramban, we all have to ask ourselves the same question. If we take Eretz Yisrael very seriously, then we have a right to say, V'zochach hazdei avos. But says the Ramban, if Eretz Yisrael is not a major part of your life, if it's not something you aspire to be a part of that experience, then Zchus Avos doesn't make sense. Zchus Avos is something that is closely connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and it's something that's so important to all of us. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes something which is very obvious, but really it's just nice that he points it out. We're not going to read it inside, but he points out that in Sefer Devarim, we refer to Nahar Paras as Hanahar HaGadol Nahar Paras. Why is it referred to as Hanahar HaGadol Nahar Paras? And Rashi says, what, it was such a big river? Nahar Paras, the Euphrates, not so big. Plenty of other oceans, rivers. Why do we call it Nahar Paras? Rashi writes in Sefer Devarim, the reason why is because Shenizkar Im Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's Nikra Gadol. Because it's in close proximity to Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's called a Gadol. Automatically, it gets the elevated status of being something great because it's in the proximity of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, imagine if a river, which is just in some close proximity to Eretz Yisrael already, becomes a gadol, imagine what kind of personality can be changed if somebody takes advantage of the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Imagine the gadol I can become if only I had the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael and to experience it. Look what it does to a river. Imagine what it can actually do to a person. There's a story told about the Malbim. I read it many years ago. The Malbim had two Meshulachim that came to him on one afternoon, and he sees both of them waiting outside. He looks at both of them. He says, okay, you come in first. Now, the other one who was waiting outside was a much greater Talmud Chacham, very famous. Everybody knew it. So he was very insulted, and he said, the Malbim knows who I am. What, he lets me wait online like this? He takes in the other person first. Anyway, he comes in. The Malbim says, I owe you an explanation. I'm going to explain to you exactly what happened. I took him in because he's a gadol. Turns to them and he says, he's a gadol? Who knows who he is? Everybody knows who I am. Now, I don't know the story. That part of it doesn't really make sense because no gadol would talk like that. If he does, he's probably not a gadol. But anyway, so the story they say is the Malbim said to him, no, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Automatically, someone from Eretz Yisrael is a gadol. As it says, Hanahar HaGadol Nahar Pras. You live in Chutz Laretz. You're wonderful. You're great. I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you. But you're not greater than him. He has a connection to Eretz Yisrael. If you look here on the second side of the page, I brought a letter which I find very, very powerful. It's actually written by Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky. Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky passed away in the 1950s. He was one of the great Gedolim in Yerushalayim. He was born in Chutz Laretz, but then migrated later to Eretz Yisrael. He ended up becoming the Rav in the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Eitz Chaim. Which was, right, he was there before, but he became the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, which is a very important yeshiva in Yerushalayim at the time. And Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky, aside from his greatness in everything he did for the community in Yerushalayim, he also wrote very powerful svarim that we use until this day. One of the svarim that he wrote was a sefer all about the halachas that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. He compiled all the halachas together, which was a monumental work at the time, to do all of that research and to figure out what people living in Eretz Yisrael actually need to know. In the introduction to that sefer, he writes a very beautiful explanation about his feelings toward the movement of going to Eretz Yisrael. Let's read it together. I just think it's so beautiful. B'mesiras nefesh mamish. Okay, everyone has it? Second paragraph. B'mesiras nefesh mamish alu ha'olim harishonim le'Eretz Yisrael le'hishyashev ba'achas me'arba ha'ayaros tzvas teveria Yerushalayim v'chevron. It was a tremendous amount of sacrifice that was required from the people who originally went, the first pioneers who came to Eretz Yisrael. There were very few communities to live in. They were not settled at all. Tzvat, Tveria, Yerushalayim, and Hebron, those were your only options. Nasu al Sfinas Shayit, they went on a little a raft. Al Yad HaChofim, they went on the banks of the rivers. Vahanasiya Arka al Pirov, Karav Lashana. He said for most people, in order to get there, it took them almost a year. Vinasu me'ir le'ir al svasayom. Nobody had money to go on a big cruise ship. So they had, people were taking a little raft here. They went to the next port. Then they figured out a couple of days. They went to the next stop. V'chal ir ha'yutzrichim l'chakos al svinas dayag acheres hanosas the kivun Eretz Yisrael. They would try to jump on a ride of some fishermen who were going toward the general direction of Eretz Yisrael, jumping on here, jumping on there, getting off at the next place. Miyafu li'yushalayim ha'yunosim al chamorim. once they actually got to Yaffa, which was the port city, it wasn't so simple to get from there either. They would jump onto a donkey, susim ugemalim, they had horses, and sometimes they got a camel. B'meshach yom v'laylo pachad mishodedim, all the roads were terrifying. There were people waiting in the roads to steal all your money. Gam rishayon haknisa l'eretz Yisrael lo haya kal, you weren't able to get a visa that easily. V'sebel hayoshvim ba haya kasha ad ma'od, uvikama misiras nefesh ikimu shiva b'nei yeshiva eshchunas nachla shiva. There were seven families who started the community that's referred to as Nachla Shiva Mimaravasha Yerushalayim. Bimakom Chayso Terev, there were wild animals roaming the streets there. It was dangerous. Vishodidim Shortzim, there were bandits all over the streets as well. Ve'acharea Hakama Shchunas Me'a She'ar Mitzafon, then they established the community called Me'a She'ar Mushchunas Beis Yaakov Mishkenos Ve'aben Yisrael B'marav. Ve'achareim Ha'oz V'hagrua La'hakamas Moshva HaRishona Petach Tikva. Petach Tikva was the first place that was like considered a major breakthrough. That's where they came. They started a major city, and that was considered to be a major, major accomplishment. Sham shartzu chai so terafalistim larov. So it sounds exciting, but he says if you went to Petach Tikva at the time, they had the same problems. They had wild animals all over the place. It was not a safe place to live at all. Uvechal haaretz, next paragraph. Lo haisa shum kvish. Think about that. He's writing this in the 1950s. He passed away in 1955. In the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, lo haya shum kvish. He says, I remember. There were no roads. Kiim gayos va'amakim maleim slayim v'tzukim. There were rocky mountains everywhere. V'hamis yashvim savlu gam michoser matzrachim chiyunim. They didn't have their basic necessities. There were no stores, no department stores. Gam michoser mayim michoser delek lama'or. There was no oil to fill up the candelabras with. There was no water that was running for them. Va'akulam miridifos v'isnapilos me adone ha'aretz, and they were being tortured by those who were administering all of the land. V'im kolze, and with all of this, he writes, ha'yusmechem bechelkam, with all of those challenges, they were so excited. Shezachu leishev uliyashev es ha'aretz, that they had the opportunity, that they had the privilege of coming to Eretz Yisrael and populating it, asher gam hi ha'aretz shamer emunim la'am Yisrael v'chol hazman ha'arach sheyashu b'tocha amim acherim lo hisira ha'aretz hasbilgia almanusa v'haisa atufa b'shamamon. We're told actually in the Tochacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that so long as the Jewish people are not going to be in Eretz Yisrael, v'ha'aretz tia shamama, the land is not going to grow. Right? Why is it called the green line? Because it's green on our side. Right? That's the way it goes. This is the promise in the Tochacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to remain loyal to the Jewish people, and so long as they're not in Eretz Yisrael, it will not grow produce. And that is what happened. And suddenly they came back, and they see it's beginning to grow. And they see that the commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised so many thousands of years ago to Moshe Rabbeinu is actually coming true. Umahayom. Next paragraph he says, and what about today? And again, this is written in the 1950s, a thousand times over today in 2022. But look what he writes. Mahayom, makala hanasiya le'eretz Yisrael, how easy it is for us to go to Eretz Yisrael. Me America elea ba'aviron is 36 hours. To go from America to Eretz Yisrael takes 36 hours by plane. Bisfina im kol hanochiyos shamatailim, if you're going on a boat because you can't afford to go on a plane for 36 hours, maximum, he says, is 2 weeks. It's going to take you 2 weeks to get to Eretz Yisrael. Mi Yafo li Yerushalayim b'mechonit, then you land in the port city of Yafo. To get from Yafo to Yerushalayim used to be a donkey, then you had to hop a ride with a camel over here, jump in here. You were worried about who's going to be the bandit on the road who's going to stop you, steal all your money. He says, now? Mi Yafo li Yerushalayim b'mechonit, now to jump in a taxi from Yafo to Yerushalayim is 1 hour. Kol hadrachim slulim kvishim. You look around the land of Eretz Yisrael and you see paved highways. Lo chasar mayim, there's running water. Bishar tzarche mazon chiyunim, there's ice cream trucks all over the place, and there's supermarkets, makolet, chashmal, adelek, there's electricity. Adonai ha'aretz, memsheles Yisrael, who are the ones administering the law? It's Jewish people, it's a Jewish country. Visharei ha'aretz, psuchim le'ravacha, and it's not difficult to get a visa. Yes, for some it is, but for everybody else it doesn't seem to be. Ein zecher le'kabalas pitcha ha'aduma, ulalo matna shochad, you don't have to go pay off somebody, maybe you do, but you don't have to pay somebody off to get you a visa to get into the country. You just go. You go, you bring your passport, you get in, not a problem. Umah chaser kayom, So what is missing today? We're not missing any of the conveniences. It's only 36 hours by plane to get to Eretz Yisrael. So what are we missing? 1950. What we're missing is, he says, Osa hatshuka ha'aza, sheyakta belibo shlome emune Yisrael hakodmin shebechutz laaretz. All we're missing today is not the running water, and not the gas, and not the cars, and not the highways. We have all of that. It's amazing. All we're missing today is the tshuka, is the desire and the passion to actually be there. We don't have the same mentality as the people 100 years ago had. We don't yearn and pine for this existence the way they did. Imagine in the 1850s, he writes, if it was that easy to get to Eretz Yisrael. Imagine if it would have been this easy, or if for everybody that it's so easy for, they would have taken advantage and gone ahead with it. He said, then the whole country would be mostly populated by religious Jews. Val kisos hakneset b'medinas Yisrael hayoshim rubam kukulam. Most of the seats in the Knesset would be taken by religious people, because they would be most of the country. Imagine what this country would look like if people shared the passion today that those Jews in the 1850s and earlier were willing to take upon themselves, all the struggles to come to Eretz Yisrael and to experience it. He's dreaming now. He says, imagine if all the laws of the Knesset were actually determined by Torah values. It wouldn't even cross your mind. There wouldn't be a discussion whether the movie theaters would be open on Shabbos. We wouldn't be fighting about all these issues because they would all be determined based on the laws of the Torah. None of this would be going on if only we would have such a passion. If only we would take advantage of all the conveniences that we have today, of the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this gift of living in Eretz Yisrael. Look at the next paragraph. Hein amnam ad hayom. Rubam kekulam kshurim binimim harbe le'eretz hakdosha. He says many people today feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. And he says they have many strings that attach them. And they give checks and they support and they're involved. Eleho ponim mechalat filos, and they daven every day. And they turn and face. Umispallim ela sholosh pamim beyom et filos bebirchas hamazin umalim esachronim arosim chasam. And at a wedding we put ashes on the head of the chasin. We don't support Eretz Yisrael less, we support it a lot more. Support all you want, but you love the Gullus mentality. You're not prepared to give it up, he says. There are people who actually believe that this is going to be their home in the future. I sometimes think when I see people building homes here, I'm like, do you think you're going to be here forever? You think you're going to be here forever? Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to build a brick home in Chutz La'aretz. You're allowed to buy one if someone else built it, but you're not allowed to build a brick home in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because it's Ki'ilu Misyayish Min HaGeula. You're basically saying, I don't believe there's going to be a redemption. If I believe that, I would never build such a thing. I wouldn't waste so much money building such a permanent structure here. An edifice, a fortress. Why would you build such a thing? You don't believe that there's a future somewhere else. Al Kain, he says, he implores us. Shomrei Torah mitzvos biyichud al kol rabbanenu. So I take the hit. He says specifically on the rabbis. Lekabel lekach mehalios hakadumos. Take inspiration from all those who went before you. Shealu leretz Yisrael b'mesiras nefesh. V'hayu te'evim lehistofef bechatzros Hashem. All they wanted with every ounce of their fiber of their being was to just have the opportunity to bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulechaleitz es kedusa as ha'aretz mimechalelea, and to take the opportunity to extract as much as they can from the Kedusha that is Eretz Yisrael. Uvirtzos Hashem, and he says, my hope is, Darke Ishkam Oivav Yashlem Oso, V'Yisrael Yeshev Levetach Me Oivav Achitzonim, V'Hayam Yisrael Be'Eretz Yisrael, Madhik Shuv Bezaro Kivshonos Kodem, V'Hayinu Miskarvim Yom Yom Agulasenu Ashlema Ve'El Hayyud HaMekuva. We hope that this will bring us one step closer by inspiring ourselves. So back to that question, what do? Tisha B'Av is over, the 3 weeks are over, 9 days are over. Do we just revert right back to where we started? Absolutely not. We have many, many different remembrances throughout the year. I was talking to one of the members of our shul this week, and I happened to be talking to him about different Zechel HaChurban, so I said, you know, one of the things that the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra is that Zechel HaChurban was supposed to have an Ama Alama in our house that is not painted. He's supposed to leave over a space. He was mortified. Really? Ama Alama? I built my whole house. I didn't know anything about it. So he wanted to know, what do I do now? It's a big shaila. Do you have to actually take the paint off? Do you have to actually remove the wallpaper? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses, is it good enough to paint a little black square and write a Meshkachecha Yerushalayim on it, something of that nature? But to have reminders in our lives and throughout the experience of our lives that we are not perfect, that we are imperfect, that there's so much lacking, there's so much missing from the experience of what Jewish life is. And Rabbi Chiel Michalto Kaczynski, as he so beautifully wrote, the experience of being in Eretz Yisrael today is not close to comparable to what it was, to the Mesiras Nefesh, to what was necessary for a person to make that decision in the 1800s, early 1900s. They didn't have any of the amenities that we have today. Nothing was as available as it is today. Ashrei knew that we have this opportunity, that we have this gift, and all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is to take advantage of it and to do whatever we can to aspire toward that kind of life, to that kind of understanding, to take advantage of what it means to be in the Chatzros Hashem, what it means to live in the confines of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be part of that experience is something that we all look forward to. Yes, it's a b'dieved that we're here, but we need to realize it's only a b'dieved. It's only temporary. It's not where we belong. Amir Tashem, we hope not to be here. And we hope to have that great schus, that great gift, that great opportunity of being reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again in Yerushalayim HaBnuya.